I don't know, it just doesn't click with me. I just kind of thought, oh look, it's a guy in a mask, I don't care.
I didn't like this segment that much.
Tozawa to the top! Tozawa, nobody home!
If I find myself looking at my phone during 205 Live, that's a bad sign.
The champion scrambling! Can he lock it in? There it is! The rings of Saturn locked in center of the ring by the champion! Oh! Slingshot spear by Gargano! Back press!
Week 2 of Week in the Universe, where we cover 205 Live and NXT. You know, he's the kind of guy that if I saw him at an indie show, I'd be like, awesome!
McIntyre coming off the rope!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Week in the Universe Part 2, where we discuss the yellow and purple brands that are NXT and first 205 Live. I am your ever-present, no-days-off host, Amir Ozzaneni, and joining me this week is a man who has joined me for the last 2 weeks on this portion of Week in the Universe, Dexter Kretschmann.
Thank you. At least you didn't make the usual joke that you've made.
I've made it twice. That does not make it usual. And you talking about usual is unacceptable because you are unusual.
I guess I am the strange one on the podcast. Anyway, shall we get right into it?
Yes, we shall. Let's crack on with Set Purple Brand.
Lesson number 2. There's more than one way to win a match. You understand me?
I'm not playing a gentleman. I am.
I have laid waste to Pretender. Hasta Pretender.
So,
205. You dare to fucking talk over me, minion?
Do we want to do the thing with the predictions first?
Predictions last.
Moving on.
Always last. But thank you for cutting up what was an excellent segue into 205 Live. You fucking prick! Oh, you're going to get it now. This is going to be the Dexter Kretschmann Cries podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right, cheese tits. Let's talk about 205 Live.
All right, bitch face.
Oh, bitch face. That is rich coming from what you've got sitting next to you at home. Oh, yeah. Daddy's going to get nasty. Man force.
Oh, my God.
It works with everything. Man, boss. This is going to be even worse than last week. I apologize in advance to everybody. Purple Brand, 205 Live, Dexter Kretschmann. We had some very good wrestling on 205 Live this week, as we always do. Punctuated by something very, very special, and that was the conclusion of the PowerPoint presentation by Drew Gulak. The king, the master, is back again on commentary. Drew Gulak, can I just say one thing? This is how I'm going to lead off 205 Live. Yes, I am. Deal with it. Whoever changed Drew Gulak's incredible music and took away the megaphone, you're fired. You're fucking fired.
You're fired.
Unacceptable. Get his old music back right now. His new music sucks ass. Who changed it? Who did this? His music's brilliant. It ties into his gimmick beautifully. The megaphone, I'm sure it will make a return at some point. Loving the boards, loving the signs, loving the fact he stands on the table. His immense hatred for Vic Joseph, who is basically a poor man's Tom Phillips, is incredible. But no, get the music back. But he sat in and he watched Akira Tozawa wrestle Noam Dar. What are we thinking about the build-up of Akira Tozawa, one of your favorites, Japanese wrestler as well, a guy who last was remembered for being the guy who ended Neville's incredible streak as Cruiserweight champion? What are we thinking about him going up against Drew Gulak in the story?
It makes me wonder why we didn't continue on going on with Tozawa versus Neville, kind of like we did with Austin Aries, because there was quite a few good matches between the two of those two, but yet we only got, like, what, 2 matches out of Tozawa and Neville? And it kind of then fizzled.
So you think you would rather see more of... Well, you basically said you would rather see more of Akira Tozawa and Neville.
Yes, I honestly want to see another go-around between the two of them. I think there was quite a bit of traction still left between the two of them.
Yeah, we're kind of on the back burner with it, so if they're going to come back to it, it's going to be a while. The most important thing to me is that Drew Gulak gets his PowerPoint presentations finished, because they are incredible. Oh my God,
no. No.
Can I just say?
No.
Drew Gulak is life. Drew Gulak is life. Drew Gulak is God. Drew Gulak is 205 live. He is very much the spring water advert to my life. He brings balance, centered control to my life. Drew Gulak, you are a gift to mankind. Thank you very much for your tiny, tiny underpants. Now, Tozawa versus Noam Dar, frankly, is a forgettable match. I'm more interested in the fact that Tozawa is being used with Drew Gulak. I want to see Drew Gulak interacting with people who can play up to his brand of humor more. And I have some reservations as to whether Akira Tozawa can do that. He is funny, and he does have a certain degree of humor to him, Akira Tozawa. But does he have what I would consider to be enough charisma to carry himself when he's in the ring and when he's on the mic with someone like Drew Gulak? And for me, the answer is no. I don't believe he has. And I think this is going to be a waste of Drew Gulak going forward. But Drew Gulak's in that role of, I'm hilarious, I'm entertaining, but I'm simply here to put over other guys. So I guess we'll wait with bated breath on it. Jack Gallagher blindsided Cedric Alexander after what was a fantastic match with the Brian Kendrick. Great wrestling match. That's one side of things. What are we thinking about Jack Gallagher as a heel going forward, and also his well-executed promo backstage?
I love the promo. I enjoy the fact that he's a heel. My reservations from last week have not gone away, because we still don't have a really solid face other than Cedric Alexander. We don't. Where's the face? You can't have a heel without a face. Can't have a face without a heel.
Nick Payne. Love Jack as a heel. His promo was great. Great reasoning and very well delivered. I actually thought it was quite funny. Not funny, sorry. I thought it was quite well delivered. It was quite professional. Kept it nice and short. I'm not sure I like the idea of him being essentially the Brian Kendrick's minion. I think he's strong enough to be out there on his own. I'd rather see them as equals, maybe as a pairing trying to run roughshod over the roster. Maybe that's what we're going to get. Maybe that's what they're alluding to. But I don't want to see Jack Gallagher in a role of being subservient.
I can agree with that. But again, same problem that we're running into. Who are they going to run roughshod over, considering segue time, Tozawa? Or not Tozawa, segue time, TJP.
It's a shame that you mentioned, just before we do mention TJP, you actually did mention Tozawa, and I didn't want to brush over it. At heel, Nick Payne also said, fashion jail, LOL, because in reference to the fact that Drew Gulak sat on the table jail. And said he was subject to some rather evasive procedures, and he was like, you will be hearing from my attorney, which is me, which I thought was quite
funny. It's like, God damn it. By the way, for the people who are listening in Britain, in America, don't self-represent yourself. You'll just lose, unless it's small claims. Don't do it.
That's definitely an American thing. Yeah, but over here, we don't sue each other. We actually settle our agreements without shooting our wives in the face with 357 Magnum. No offense, America. No. At heel, Nick Payne, Drew has got it. He knows how to get heat, but be awesome at the same time. And of course, more fucking PowerPoint, but only one slide. LOL, 271 to go. Double thumbs up, because Nick Payne gets this brand of humor because he's British. Great job on commentary, too. And that look at Tozawa, like Akira had pissed on his Christmas presents. Great work from Drew all over once again. So, you mentioned TJP. Heel Nick Payne says that TJP just annoys me and it's rubbing off on Swan now. It needs to stop. So apparently we're not done. It's because TJP has gone full heel now and has beaten the shit out of creepy, rapey-faced Rich Swan. Speaking of rapey face, Manforce!
God damn it! I knew you were going to do that! I knew it!
What are we thinking about TJP? Your favorite on 205 Live, battering Rich Swan.
I mean, like I said before, this is just a continuation of what we had before, and no one seems to
except
like
with
it.
More aggression.
Right. It's what we had before with more aggression. Aggression's not going to fix it. These two, although they have chemistry for a match, do not have chemistry for an actual rivalry. They need to get away from each other as soon as goddamn possible.
Yeah, it just it's done with. They should have called it a day here. This is just a continuation of something people don't care about, and that was punctuated by the crowd, who could not give a shit. This was a zero fucks given segment for the crowd, as they just looked at TJP as if to say, and? Nobody cares, mate. You had more heat when you were manic in TNA. Come on, man. Yeah. So that leaves one thing, yeah. Really. Which is, of course, Neville versus Enzo Amore. What did you think about the promo, the interaction between these two? It was quite intense. It was quite emotional. Enzo Amore said some pretty inflammatory things to Neville. And by the end of it, was supremely placed as the heel because the crowd were all over him. They were booing the shit out of him. And I'm not sure whether that was the supposed reaction they were looking for. Neville came out of this looking like a face.
That might be what they're looking for, considering the rest of the roster is looking very heelish. But yeah, double swerve. I'm thinking double swerve and turning Neville as like an anti-hero.
That would be interesting. Whether it be awesome or not remains to be seen. But
right, yeah, it would have to be done really well. But that's what I'm kind of getting, is maybe using Enzo Amore as the ultimate dickhead to try and double swerve him.
Enzo Amore can't wrestle very well. He can't talk very well other than shouting over. I liked the fact that the crowd turned on him for mentioning that I'm an A-lister. I make this the realest show. You're jealous of me because I sell merchandise and I hang out with people like Dre. That makes you unrelatable, dickhead. If that was you trying to get yourself over as being real, all that does is get you over as a completely unrelatable dickhead. Because what you're saying to fans is, this is what I do. You lot don't do that. So you should probably appreciate this guy more, because Neville here is a hardworking Brit from a tough, gritty northern town in Newcastle. A city in Newcastle, in Britain, which is obviously well known over here. And he is on his craft. He works tirelessly and relentlessly every week to give you the very best. He has gone from being a nothing face to being arguably the best heel in his company after The Miz and Kevin Owens. So, fuck you, Enzo Amore, is all I could really think about when I was watching this promo. I genuinely started getting really angry. I thought, you're a dickhead. You have no basis or premise for any of your arguments. And everything you said to him is completely and utterly stupid. You sound like a fucking idiot. And that is topped off by the fact you look like an idiot. You're coming out in Oakland wearing a two-pack shirt, trying to play out to a crowd, which, let's be honest, the majority of people in that crowd probably don't even listen to Tupac, have absolutely no association with him or his music. And yet you're out there thinking you're some beacon of fucking advertising for, you know, the old West Coast rap.
I do have one honest question for him. The hell are you around your socks? Why do they exist? Why did you tie them at the end of it? That is completely stupid, and I'm done with you. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, the whole thing was punctuated by a pathetic low blow. He looks like a cheap shit piece of shit. Now, if WWE is genuinely trying to turn Enzo Amore heel, mission accomplished, you've done a great job. If this was a case of him trying to be the anti-hero face, this was a pile of shit. So it depends. How much credit do you give WWE here? Are they trying to go for a double turn? I think possibly they are, in which case I have to give him a little bit of credit. Because Enzo Amore as a heel was actually highly effective. This was highly effective if you wanted to be a heel. So if Enzo Amore is going for being the heel, brilliant. Because he acknowledged the fact he couldn't wrestle Neville, that he couldn't out-wrestle him. And Neville sort of mocked him and said, oh, what are you going to do? Give me a low blow, blah, 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 blah. Because, of course, Neville is uber heel. But I see things turning. I do. I see it being a double swerve and Neville going after him and becoming the anti-hero, as you say. So we wait with bated breath. What did you think of 205 Live this week?
205 Live, it's a lot more that we got able to sink our teeth into this time versus last week. Last week, that was the reason it was so fruity, is because we couldn't sink our teeth into either show. But this one actually has something worthwhile and some content we could, you know, at least do something with. I appreciate it. And 3.5. Three genders and a Bollywood boy.
At Heel Nick Payne, how you getting on with hashtag give Vic a chance, LOL? Vic Joseph sucks, mate. He sucks. He does. I'm sorry, he's not good. What do you think of Vic Joseph, the main commentator, now that obviously Tom Phillips has moved on?
No. Someone else. Anyone else. Somebody. Anybody. Let's get Jerry back. Jerry the King. Why not? Let's do it. Someone else.
Hate you. I have hated you for a long time, Dexter Critchman. That comment secures my hatred for you. I do not want to see that sweaty, fending twat, that useless, royalistic fucktard Jerry Lawler anywhere near my TV screen. And I remember a couple of people when I said, oh yay, Jerry Lawler's on Raw this week, because poor old Booker T was struggling in Houston, and everyone was like, don't fucking disrespect a legend. I'll disrespect the fuck out of whoever I please, motherfuckers. Do you understand me? And Jerry Lawler is a piece of shit, and there's a reason he's blocked me on Twitter. And frankly, Jerry Lawler can suck it.
I'm just trying to make a point. Anybody else?
I'll make a fucking
please.
Point when I absolutely fucking ruin you at No Mercy, Sunshine. Now then, before we wrap
see.
Up 205
we'll
Live,
see.
Before we wrap up 205 Live, at Smarty Babby Boo, glad you are safe, glad you are happy and healthy. Much love to you, my dear, even if you are a stinking New Day fan. She said, heel, Gentleman Jack, is the shit. I don't know why they didn't do this sooner. She also said that Enzo Amore is WWE's next punching bag next to Roman Reigns. Both very valid points. The punching bag thing, that remains to be seen, because Roman Reigns might... It's hard to say Roman Reigns is a punching bag. Come on. He wins all Roman the Reigns. Time. Enzo Amore doesn't win shit. So, I thought 205 Live was... particularly good. 205 Live, for me, three genders and a Bollywood boy, just because the wrestling wasn't out of this world, otherwise we would have been in 4.5 territory. I thought the final segment with Neville and Enzo, it lacked a little something for me. This was the first time that I've seen Enzo Amore stand tall, really, in a rivalry. Since he's gone down to 205 Live. Normally, every show, he ends up being the battered piece of shit. The highlight for the entire segment for me was Neville mocking his dancing. Going on about him dancing like a chicken. Incredible stuff. I shall splicey splicey Neville shouting and mocking him.
I'd be staying at home, resting and recuperating, but here you are, dancing like a chicken!
Absolutely awesome. But yeah, I'd say three genders and a Bollywood boy. So, Dexter Christian, are you ready to break down the yellow brand, NXT?
I am much ready to break down the yellow brand. Let's get into this.
You are not NXT. We are NXT.
We tried to do it your way. And what did I get? Nothing.
Oh, my God. What the hell? Adam Cole baby! In the house!
Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
At Heel McPayne. I'm liking Moss and Sabatelli as a heel tag team. Their look is great, and they're keeping Gargano relevant. Great to see new guys coming through and getting a bit of personality. So this show opened with Johnny Gargano facing one of these two roidy freaks. Now, I'm very rarely disagree with Nick Payne on a big level. However, I could not disagree with that statement more. I think both of those guys are utter shit. They're boring, they're uninteresting, and they look like classic old school WWE body guys in an era of NXT where we are looking at some of the most premier indie talents going. I have zero interest in them, and frankly, I actually think they're making Gargano look quite irrelevant. I have zero interest in Gargano right now. I think that Tommaso Ciampa getting injured at the time he did has crippled Johnny Gargano's storyline, and I just have zero interest going forward in any of these guys involved in this match. Dexter Critchman, what do you think?
I sound like a broken record here. I think Johnny should come over to 205 Live and have his former partner chase him when he comes back. It'd at least give him some relevancy, be like, I'm trying to get away from my old life. I need to get away from DIY. I just need to get away from it all. And then have him come back and stomp him on the face.
I don't necessarily disagree, to be honest, because I feel that 205 Live could do with freshening up its storylines a bit outside of the main title affair. And one of the best ways to do that is have Gargano come over as this plucky face, along with someone like a Cedric Alexander. It bolsters the faces because you've got so many heels charging around right now. And on top of that, right, you can insert the Ciampa-Gargano rivalry on 205 Live. The only problem is that because you've started it in NXT, I imagine NXT's crowd would be like, motherfucker, why don't we get to see it finish? This probably lends itself more to our argument about splicing both shows together. I wanted to talk about the women's wrestling on this show. So we got Lacey Evans versus Bianca Belair. First of all, both women are stunning. It goes without saying.
They are.
But this, for me, was a real pleasant surprise. I haven't seen either woman wrestle because I didn't really watch NXT, only sort of in fits and spurts until recently, when we started obviously covering it for this podcast. Now, both of these women excited me from a wrestling standpoint. Both of them were excellent. I found them to be far more exciting than Sonya Deville, this, you know, machine that they're building up who's going to run roughshod. There was a few vignettes on this show building to the fact that they've got new women in the roster, women who won a shot at the NXT women's title. I assume we're going to be going down the tournament route with the final being at the next TakeOver. That's what I'm thinking they'll do. Kind of like a knockout sort of thing, and the final being at TakeOver.
That would be the best way to do it. It'd show off all the talent. We haven't had a decent tournament-style championship run in any of the brands in a good long while.
No, because the King of the Ring concept has been dead for many a year now. But to be fair, this match was brilliant. I really enjoyed this match. Now, when I first started watching it, I had some reservations about Bianca Belair. Overall, the ring gear was very sparkly and in your face. The gimmick seemed to be that she was very sparkly and in your face. And I thought, this is going to need more depth. I still think that it needs tweaking. But as the match went on, I grew. I found the long hair fascinating. The usage of it during the match was quite unique. But both these women put on a real show. And if I was sitting there watching, I think, wow, these are both women that I can get emotionally invested, that I can get behind or boo in the case of Belair. These are women that piqued my interest in NXT's women's wrestling brand, because I think really in the last few weeks, all we've really had is Ruby Riott and Iconic. And other than that, it's just been all about, hey, Asuka's gone. There's not really been a great deal of focus or strength on NXT's women's division, especially with the Mae Young Classic going off as well. So,
right,
this was a really great advertisement for two women that I haven't seen before. Both of them had a unique and stylish look. I think Lacey Evans' sexy kind of bomber girl look, very cool. Like the retro feel to it, like the uniform. Bianca Belair, not as enamored with her uniform and her gimmick, but in ring, she is really talented, really athletic, really exciting. And with the right kind of tweaking, I think she could be something quite special in this division. I like the idea of her being like an anti-Naomi, kind of like a more down-to-earth, less glow, but still with all the glamour, almost like a female Bobby Roode in a lot of ways, with all that sparkle going off. I quite like the idea of it. So I'm excited to see more of these women. I hope I don't have to wait too long, because I don't really have any interest in Sonya Deville. There seems to be this leaning towards MMA-esque wrestlers, and I don't really care for it as much in the women's division. I would rather see a character with some depth and far more exciting in-ring content than just no-nonsense angry woman who runs people over with very atypical MMA submissions and slams.
And honestly, I have to agree with all that, just because out of all four of the new, I'll call them new because I haven't seen them, out of all four of the new wrestlers we've seen in the past 2 weeks, Deville, although she won, is the most boring of the group. It's the one she's the one I'd like to see the least out of the grouping, just because of how boring her in-ring character is in
That's
general.
That's exactly what I've been thinking. At heel Nick Payne, the Mae Young Classic has given Bianca Belair so much confidence. Her first match in the tournament was poor, but she was amazing against Sane. Kairi Sane, who eventually got to the final of the Mae Young Classic. Just looks more like a pro now. So much potential. For a mid-card women's NXT match, this was awesome. That hair whip, ouch. Yeah, kind of really echoing our thoughts. I love this match. I actually felt that other than the main event, this was the highlight of the show for me. Really enjoyed it. It was really succinct, really fun. So, Lars Sullivan versus No Way Jose. Lars is large and definitely in charge. Treated Jose like he was a child. Just a bear of a man, says Nick Payne. I had very little interest in this match. I don't really care that much for Lars Sullivan. No Way Jose is a fun thing. You know me, whenever the music plays, I'm up and about. I love it. It gets me going a bit, gives me a bit of joy, gives me a bit of a smile. But frankly, I could give two shits about this rivalry. Any quick thoughts on this, mate?
Not really anything. No Way Jose, great character, but it's just kind of a dull gimmick all the way around. Not interested. I'm more interested in what's happening next.
Yeah, so at Smiley Baby Boo said that Aleister Black is a mini Undertaker. No, he isn't. He's nothing like him. And I'm getting fed up with people comparing him to him. He has a presence that would be similar to what The Undertaker was trying to do, but there's no similarities whatsoever. And newsflash, this is going to really upset a lot of people. Aleister Black is a far better wrestler than The Undertaker.
I can almost agree with that.
The Undertaker is an incredible persona, one of the greatest to ever live, one of the legends of wrestling. But Aleister Black is an entirely different entity. I just think we need to nip this bollocks with The Undertaker being like, or Aleister Black being like The Undertaker. We need to nip that in the bud quickly, because I just don't think it's very healthy, and it's not going to help Aleister Black. I think that all wrestlers, particularly in this modern era, need to set their own trends. They need to identify themselves uniquely and not have such a moniker or a name attached to themselves like a lot of them do. And frankly, Aleister Black is one of the most exciting prospects I've seen in NXT for a long time. And I don't want that to be tarnished with people just going, he's like The Undertaker, I hope he does Undertaker stuff. No, absolutely not.
No.
Smiley also said, however, that the Velveteen Dream is back. Now, Dexter Kritchman, I imagine you have much to say about this fruity man, this fruity character. In Velveteen Dream. So Velveteen Dream comes down and he tries to get all psychological with Aleister Black, and that leads to Black kicking the microphone out of his hand. And then there is this rather intense and almost sexual moment where Aleister Black is sat in a meditative position, staring a hole through Velveteen Dream, and he sort of wildly lunges towards him and then slivers out of the ring. There's a lot of symbology here, a lot of connotations of things. What did you think?
I know a lot of people are gonna probably give me flack for this. I don't care. I absolutely love currently what's going on in terms of chemistry between these two, and I want this rivalry to keep going to its fruition, because it's going to feel like what I hate using him as an example, but Goldust versus an actual serious wrestler would be. And I want to see this. I want to see this happen.
So, yeah, you're not the only one who thinks that. Did not expect Velveteen Dream to interrupt Black, but I love Patrick Clark. He's really going for it with his character. Fantastic ending with the knee drop. Great for the Dream and interesting for Black going forward. I fucking love this segment. Even Black's promo was good, even though I was scared initially for him speaking. So, at heel Nick Payne agrees with you. And frankly, I thought this was going to shit the bed when I saw Velveteen Dream come out. But by the end of this segment, they had me. I was gripped by it. Velveteen Dream is so capable on a microphone. And I like his fruity, unique aura. I think it's quite cool. The questions about sexuality, I like the boundaries that it pushes. I think it's exciting, it's fresh, it's different. And Aleister Black offers a perfect foil for that, because he is the entire opposite of Velveteen Dream in every way, and yet still has a similarity to him in some aspects, which is so cool. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. Hopefully they're going to give him a good platform, maybe a match at TakeOver.
I would appreciate a match at TakeOver. I would appreciate them just... I hate you. I'd appreciate them just dancing around each other, you know, the two of them avoiding each other, brushing against each other in terms of promos, but then just having it all happen at a TakeOver. Do not put these two in a match before TakeOver, because you will be ruining a perfectly good match.
Yeah, because you get like a sort of rotation of talent on NXT as well. So maybe every other week have these guys interacting with each other. Maybe it be backstage, whatever they're doing. Build it, build it, build it, build it. Get to TakeOver. It gives Velveteen Dream the platform he deserves to really show off this character. And it also gives Aleister Black further momentum moving towards what will probably be the finality of him going after the NXT title. So with the NXT title in mention, we shall get to the main event. Right before we do, at Smiley Baby Boo also dropped in a little point for us. She said, Street Profits are underrated as a tag team. They are the shit. No, they're not.
No, they are a shit, a steaming pile of it, a huge massive pile, but not the shit.
I'm not going to go that far. I think there's some potential, particularly with the guy that I was mentioning last week. I still haven't remembered his name because they weren't on it this week. Vontez, whatever his name was, Montel or Vontez, Montel, Vontez, something like that. Whatever. Somebody fucking tell me what his name is, because I'm too lazy to fucking look it up.
MVP but, version 2?
Yeah, that guy. There's some potential there, but it's just so tacky for me. It's too tacky. It's just cheap shit crime time. Now, obviously, Smiley is African-American, so credit to her. She will understand the cultural stuff better than I ever could. I'm not going to sit here and claim to know anything about African-American culture other than, obviously, what we're taught. But for me, I personally find it a little bit cheap and a little bit insulting. I just think it's a bit meh. It'd be interesting to see if people hold different opinions on it. Especially of an African-American origin. Obviously, she likes it. I'm mixed race. I'm not African-American. I frankly find it a bit cheap and a bit tacky, like I said, and just a bit of a stereotype, really. That's nothing against both the guys. They're obviously very entertaining and funny guys, but I just think it's a bit shitty. I think it's a little bit of a drizzling shit. So I just think it's Crime Time 2.0, but they don't have nearly as much of a presence and the charisma and the natural humor that Crime Time had. So, yeah, I think it's hard to really say they're the shit when you've only seen them, like, what, two or three times wrestle? Like, eh, give it time. Anyway, the main event of NXT was ball-bustingly awesome. So, once again, UK guys take center stage as Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. British Strong Style from Progress.
Dash
no
Mountain.
Less. British Strong Style. No, British Strong Style. Fuck you. It is British Strong Style versus Red Dragon on NXT. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most dangerous and premier tag teams in Ring of Honor history took on Progress's former tag team champions on NXT. Talk about when worlds collide. Insane match. So
insert
good.
Insert Power Man 5000.
No, absolutely not. Especially as that is a former Dudley Boys theme music. Suck my ass. No. Unacceptable.
Please?
No. There is no, please? You're begging on a podcast, Dexter Critchman.
Yes.
Do not make me beat you back into that cage this afternoon. Normally, I allow you to get back in your cage of your own free will. Do not make me cattle prod you back in this week. Unacceptable. We're going to go full Jurassic Park here if you don't shut your mouth. Now, this main event was ball-bustingly awesome. fucking superb storytelling, the intensity, the way Kyle O'Reilly interacted with these guys. He did a shift in this match, Kyle O'Reilly. He looked phenomenal as the technical wizard. Do you know what? Kyle O'Reilly is how you do MMA and wrestling well. Not like Sonya Deville, who just comes out and forearms people and gives them the odd suplex. No, this is legitimately top-class wrestling. Kyle O'Reilly is the perfect hybrid of martial arts and wrestling. He's fucking superb. Bobby Fish is awesome. Tyler Bate and Trent Seven are incredible. This was just all-round supremely good. 4.5 genders for me. 4 genders on a body of boy for this. Just not quite at that level to be a 5 gender match for me or a 5 eggplant, but close. Utterly amazing. At heel Nick Payne, he loved this match. He also said that, can we have a British guy in the main event every week, please? I'm a bit biased, but they have the best matches, don't they just? Dexter Critchman, you've been watching NXT for a while now. Every time the UK guys are on, there's just a different level. They are so good. They are. Do you know what? How many times have I said to you, British independent wrestling is the best in the world? This is proof of it right here. They're coming in and they're elevating all the talent, especially
currently
Tyler Bate.
They are.
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are another level. Trent Seven offers something a little bit different. He offers you that unique, hilarious British humor, and he's amazing for that. But for pure wrestling, I can't get over how good Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are. They're just utter, utter genius. Everything I see about them is just supreme. Pat Heel, Nick Payne. Great ending, but I feel that Cole Fish and O'Reilly should not have been beaten down so quickly. They should have run amok for a bit longer, in my honest opinion, but still a good ending. So Adam Cole delivers a delicious super kick on the outside.
Super kick!
Insert Steve Corino. Thank you very much. It's been a while since I've used that sound point. And obviously, Red Dragon get the win with some savage double team maneuvers, some sick fucking tag team moves, as CCK would say.
Oh, yes.
On poor old Trent Seven. Then this is punctuated by the fact that Drew McIntyre's music plays. Drew McIntyre obviously wants a slice of Adam Cole and the gang. Get down on it. Because
get down
those
on
guys,
it.
Exactly. See, you're warming up to Cole and the gang, just like everybody else. Cole and the gang is the way forward. Make it Cole and the gang.
Yes.
The super kicking jab brothers. But I know, right? Terrifying. So yeah, they come down. Of course, the Undisputed Era run for the hills, where they are ambushed by Sanity, no less. Brawl breaks out. Sanity and Drew McIntyre stand tall. What are we thinking going forward? The Undisputed Era versus Sanity, maybe Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre. And of course, we got the news on NXT this week that Drew McIntyre in 2 weeks will defend his belt against Roderick Strong, which is obviously a precursor to something bigger that they're going to be doing at TakeOver. Maybe Cole versus Drew McIntyre is happening at the next TakeOver. Your thoughts on all of this and overall of NXT this week?
Honestly, what should happen at TakeOver is a Fatal 4-Way.
A Fatal 4-Way.
I see it ending up culminating in a Fatal 4-Way and the tag team titles ending up being on the line in another match. Sanity versus the Red Dragon for the tag titles. They still have them, correct? They hadn't lost them in like
yes,
a house show somewhere, right? Okay, I was going to say.
Yes,
just making sure that I still have my information straight here. But have the two of them go at it, and then at the next TakeOver, and then have Drew McIntyre, one of the members of Sanity who'd be most applicable for going for the title, pick one. I'm not sure.
Probably Eric Young, then, in that case, because he's the leader.
Have Eric Young, have Adam Cole, and combine all four talents
and
just
Strong.
Have a... Yes.
I think that's a terrible idea.
Why?
Because Sanity have absolutely no reference to the world title whatsoever, and they've done nothing to earn it. Shoehorning Eric Young or any member of Sanity in there would be awful. Also, I don't think Roderick Strong has nearly enough charisma to be a frequent main event talent, especially not on an NXT TakeOver, which leaves just Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre. I think we're very much leaning towards a one-on-one. I think a Fatal 4-Way is just a unnecessary clusterfuck, really. I don't think Roderick Strong or a member of Sanity are strong enough to be in the main event of TakeOver. I think especially a member of Sanity. Sorry to cut it down like that, but plus you were taking forever to get to the goddamn point anyway, so I thought I may as well jump in there and rescue your ass. It's not for me. The Fatal 4-Way as an individual match, absolutely great, you know, just for the fun of having a Fatal 4-Way, but you know, we're looking at it from a storyline aspect. I just don't think it really has much legs. But overall, this NXT was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
It was.
Very much so. Last week, I disagreed with you. I thought that 205 Live was better than NXT. However, this week, I thought NXT was much better than 205 Live. 205 Live was absolutely great, but it didn't get anywhere near NXT. I thought NXT was a solid four genders this week. Absolutely superb.
Agreed.
Love the women's match. Love the main event. Those two segments were absolute knockouts. I'm going to remember those segments for a while. They were both superb. On the women's side of things, great to see so much more female talent coming through on NXT. Gives me great hope that we're going to have awesome call-ups and we're still going to have a very strong level of depth for the women's divisions going forward. And of course, the main event, what can you say when you've got the British guys in there doing what they do best? Anything else to add before we jump to a different subject and wrap this up?
Nothing else. Agreed with your assessment for four genders, four eggplants. But yes. I think that comment leads very well into what's going to happen next.
Yeah, so before we wrap things up, this is our last stop before No Mercy. And of course, as you know, with a WWE pay-per-view comes our Smock Plug Pop Vinyl prediction. So, quick rundown, very quickly, because when you're listening to this, it will probably be either a Friday or a Saturday. You have very limited time to get your predictions in. If you want a shot of winning a free pop vinyl, you need to send us your predictions, who will win every single match at No Mercy. And we also need, as a tiebreaker, who will take the pinfall in the women's title match. Send those to our email, send those to our Twitter account. Please try and DM them to the Twitter account. Keep them as short as possible. We don't need your fantasy booking, your predictions, guys. We appreciate any interaction, but obviously I've got plenty of work to do on Sunday because I will be at Wembley watching the American football. So obviously I need succinctness from you guys to help me out. But if you send in your predictions and a tiebreaker, I will ensure that you are added to the graphics, and of course you will be in with a chance of winning a pop vinyl. It's free on us. Who doesn't like free wrestling merch? Even Dexter Critchman, the misery and contempt of my life, he loves free wrestling merch. So get in on
Everyone loves free
get
wrestling
in on
merch.
It. They do. Get in on it because this is your opportunity to get something for essentially nothing. All you got to do is send in your predictions and you will have the opportunity. So if you fancy yourself as a bit of a predictor, get involved. Now, of course, with SmartPlug PvP, hashtag SmartPlug PvP, please use that hashtag as much as possible if you are throwing your name in the, throwing your hat into the ring, so to speak. With it also comes a newer concept for us as a follow-on from SummerSlam and all the trash talking. At heel Nick Payne, our reigning, defending, and inaugural SmartPlug PvP champion, will be taking on, as a side project and a little bit of fun for us at the Smart Plug, he will be taking on at I Love Klee 216, one of our regular listeners, in a prediction street fight. We're going full pay-per-view with these predictions. So these won't affect the outcomes overall of who wins the pot vinyl. These are solely so that people who have got beef or maybe want to get into a bit of banter with fellow listeners can face off with each other. And of course, we will post results of winners for that. So of course the main event is at heel Nick Payne versus at I Love Klee 216 with at Taylor R 1114 at ringside. How that works out, God knows, but that'll be your main event, the reigning champ taking on at I Love Klee 216. And of course, whoever gets the most predictions right out of those two will win the match. That's, of course, the most simplest way of putting it. That's not all, though. At Kyle Rassel, dude, our brand new listener, probably one of our newest listeners, and our Canadian representative, who fancies himself as a contender, will take on At Smiley Babby Boo, one of our fiercest and most dominant female competitors. They will be facing off in a prediction singles match. And of course, Kara Rasadu will be looking to gain some reputation and some momentum going forward as Pot Vada Predictions unfolds throughout the years. But there is one very special match on offer this weekend. As the Clash of the Titans, well, Clash of a Titan and a Minion, for myself, At Dunham Devil, the owner, the chairman of the board of Smarkplug, myself, will be facing this little dickweed here at LDR Jagman, Dexter Critchman, you,
the other original
be my
host.
Opponent this Sunday, the original hosts clash. And this isn't just any old match. This is match one in a best of seven series. Each pay-per-view will be a part of our best of seven series. And of course, there will only be four because I will sweep you under the floor like the miserable, pathetic, dust-ridden carpet that is in my room. You will get swept, mate. It will be 4-0. I assure you of
this. I will love to see
that. You are
going to
get swept. You will see it, Dexter Critchman, because I am superior to you in every way. I am a villain. I am a certified gangster, mate. Never mind this G shit Enzo Amore talks about. I am going to be your worst nightmare. You are going to wake up Monday morning in sweats. You are going to be battered, bruised, and embarrassed at the hands of me as I go one up in this best of seven series. But of course, as you know full well, everything is on the line here. It's not just about me and you giving each other a bit of shit. That little cage that you live in, that I chuck you in and we let you out every week just to do a podcast. If you win this best of seven series, you'll get your freedom. You'll get your respect. You'll get your fucking eggplant video. You'll get everything you want. You'll get all the forfeits, everything you want, and you will be on equal ground with every other host on this show, or at least you can be allowed to think you are, at least. That's all on the line. So who's got everything to lose here, mate? Because I'm always going to be the fucking owner of this show. You, right now, are on the floor, sunshine, and I'm about to sweep you up. Broom style, baby. Broom, broom, motherfucker. Chim, chimney, chim, chimney, chim, chim, chiroo. Dexter Critchman is gonna get swept through.
I'm just looking on the watch here, wondering when you're done.
See, I have to fill the airtime because, of course, you can't contribute shit. That's why I'm doing the promos here, boy.
Sunday, this is why I want to bust into this and have a quick chat with you.
You got shit to say?
I got shit to say, motherfucker.
Oh, let's have it, son. Let's have it.
Let's have it. Do you remember our little forfeiture matches? Do you remember that? Currently, we have
one. That was back when you were a host.
It was. It's back before you put me in that little
Many
ass kettle.
Ago. Yeah, you deserve to be in a kettle because you're a little bitch.
Currently, I'm 3-0-1 with you. I have 3 wins, 0 losses, and a tie with you. You have yet to actually beat me in a predictions. I've been quiet.
Oh.
I've been quiet the last couple
this.
Of rounds.
No, yeah. You know what? You're right. Credit to you, Dexter Critchman. You're right. That was right before you just bailed your ass on the listeners. I remember that shit because you are basically John Cena, ain't you? You're an original. You were here since day one. And then just like everybody else who gets a little sniff of something a bit different, they go running off like a little punk ass bitch. They go running off and bailing on the listeners. Last time I checked, I'm no days off, son. I'm here every week. The listeners love me because I'm here for them every week. I get the interactions. I get everything on board. Well, you were running around playing fucking dress up with your missus. Come on, man. Come on. You ready for this Sunday, Dexter Critchman? Are you ready?
I am ready for this. I'm ready to beat
you. I'm ready
down.
For this.
Shall we?
Oh, my God. So, this Sunday is No Mercy. So we have predictions. You'll be able to see them on Twitter. But as you heard with myself and Steve Neal, we have predictions. So I'm going to repeat mine, and we're going to give Dexter Critchman the opportunity to tell us his predictions too. So No Mercy is this Sunday. Let's hear it. Neville, the Cruiserweight Champion, defending against Enzo Amore. Who you got, bitch?
This might surprise you. I'm going Neville.
Unsurprisingly, you are wrong as always. I am going Enzo Amore. Huge, huge, really? huge Neville mark. I want Neville to win more than anything else on Earth. But I believe to extend this rivalry, I think Enzo Amore is going to have to win. Even if it's by disqualification. So maybe there isn't going to be a title change, but I don't see any point to all of this being dragged out if Enzo Amore is just going to be swept under the rug just like that. It would make sense from a booking standpoint, but you know WWE, they like to shaft you, so I'm going to go with Enzo Amore. Women's title match. Fatal five-way match. No eliminations. 1-4 to a finish. Alexa Bliss defends her belt against Nia Jax, against Emma, against Sasha Banks, and against the newest addition, Bayley.
I have Nia Jax with Emma getting pinned.
I have Alexa Bliss with a sneaky pinfall on Emma.
Fair enough. We've got
John
the agreement on
John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
Again, I was so hyped with all the promotions, but the match is going to end up falling on its face. I'm going to go Roman Reigns just because we're going to pass the torch. Just simply.
I have Roman Reigns. It will be catastrophically stupid if John Cena wins this, especially as he's pissing off afterwards to film Transformers or whatever the fuck he's doing next.
Right.
For the Raw Tag Team Championships, The Shield defends against The Bar.
I've got The Shield. You can't break The Shield.
I also have The Shield, simply because I think that the club are being pushed after this, and I think
Agreed.
The club need a face tag team to deal with. So, obviously, that leaves Shield by de facto. Of course, I will be rooting for The Bar, because Europeans do it better.
And I agree. Now, I would rather see The Bar win, as much as a Shield mark as I am. I would like to see him win, but they're not going to. I'm going with the Shield.
For the Intercontinental Championship, The Miz defends against Jason Jordan.
Just because I believe in favoritism, I see Jason Jordan taking this.
Yeah, this was one of the hardest ones to pick. I want The Miz to retain so badly. I don't think Jason Jordan is even close to being ready. A lot of people quite fancy Jason Jordan to turn on Kurt Angle after he's won the belt. I don't think that makes sense. If he's going to turn on his own dad, it'll be because he doesn't win the belt. I'm going to stick my neck out and say, well, do you know what bugs me is the fact that, congratulations, by the way, to The Miz, who is going to be a dad, bless his heart.
Congrats.
And congratulations to his beautiful wife, who will be giving birth to a beautiful son, no question. But I do wonder with that, maybe that's a hint that The Miz is going to go away for a while. Or maybe it's just because I know Maryse wasn't on Raw this week, and they said Maryse is obviously at home prepping herself for, you know, obviously childhood and whatnot. I'm going to stick my neck out and say The Miz. Simply because The Miz is better. It's the right thing to do. The Miz is a fantastic Intercontinental Champion. And because I absolutely must beat you on any grounds possible. And I believe that you have made a mistake picking Jason Jordan. So I am going to go with The Miz.
All right.
In a faces-only match, the man-only match, Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt.
Ugh. You know, this was actually the one I had the hardest time picking. Out of all the matches on the card, this was the biggest pain in the butt for me, because if Bray Wyatt doesn't win, you can basically just put him on a retirement card right now, because he's not going to be able to do anything else. But Finn Balor has a better opportunity to move forward if he does win. So this is a catch-22 situation where neither person really ends up winning other than the person winning this match. I'm going to go with Finn Balor because I see that's where WWE is going with this. But at the same point in time, it's going to make me really sad because, well, Bray Wyatt needs to win.
I have Bray Wyatt winning this match. I believe this feud, so to speak, culminates at TLC I believe that it would make absolutely no sense for Finn Balor to run him over again and then to just be done with it, because like you say, it will cut his legs off too hard. I think they have more in store for us, and they're going to drag this fucker out another 6 or 7 weeks. Maybe it's going to culminate in Survivor Series. Whatever it's going to do, I think Bray Wyatt has to win here, or he is going to look atrocious and it will be game over for his career. Please do the right thing, WWE. I'm going to stick my neck out and say Bray Wyatt. And that, of course, leaves a highly anticipated main event. Brock Lesnar defends his title against Braun. The monster amongst men. Braun! Who you got?
I've got the big man. I've got Braun Strowman.
I've got Brock Lesnar.
Oh, God!
Absolutely. Actually, oh, God. Incorrect. Incorrect, actually. I don't have Brock Lesnar. I have, and I've mentioned this on part one, which obviously you haven't heard yet because it has not been released yet. I have a draw of some sort. I have this match ending in an either a no contest or with Samoa Joe attacking Braun Strowman. If Brock Lesnar is going to win, I believe Samoa Joe is going to return and attack Braun Strowman. And I think that's where we're going to go next with Strowman and Joe. Maybe Joe's angry that Strowman took his shot and he deserves it more. And because he was injured, he feels that, you know, he should have been ahead of the line. Whatever it may be, I get the impression that these two are not going to adhere to simplistic one-on-one rules. And I fully expect an tables and everything else to be destroyed in the wake of these two beasts. I hope this is not going to be some bullshit Suplex City match. I'm going to stick my neck out and say this ends in a no contest, because I think if Braun loses after all this incredible work that he's done, I think it will make him look really poor. So I'm going to stick my neck out and say some form of draw, whether that be double DQ or a no contest or anything along those lines. I'm saying a draw. So I think if it does end in some fashion like that, whether it be double count or double draw, I think that should count as a win for me.
Right. And I will even accept a one-sided disqualification on that.
So that wraps up our predictions. That also wraps up the show. Next to Critch, me little bitch, I will see you on Sunday.
See you then, you fuckhead.
Oh, you are in for a beatdown, sunshine. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it all from us. Once again, I cannot reiterate enough. If you want to be in on this shit, if you want a chance of winning a bulk vinyl, you've got to get your predictions in. DM at the Smart Plug. Send it to our Facebook page. However you can get it to me personally, whether that be via the email link on the Facebook page or emailing us directly, the Smart Plug Podcast at outlook.com. It doesn't matter. Just get it to me. Get the predictions to me. I don't care how. Just tell me who you think's going to win every match. And of course, there's a tiebreaker. I need to know who's getting pinned in the women's match. You got something to say before we wrap it up?
Send smoke signals, text messages. I don't care if it's goddamn MoneyGram. Send it to him.
Yes, get it in, because this is your chance. Not only is it your chance to have a bit of fun, take on the host, take on everybody overall, because obviously everybody's picks are going to be there for everyone to see. So you can give each other a bit of shit on the internet. You could even chat with each other and ask each other why you picked it. This is the idea of this, is to try and get you guys to interact with each other as well as us, to have a bit of fun. And of course, at the end of the line, one of you is going to get a pot of vinyl free on us. And if you don't believe us, contact at Heel Nick Payne and he'll show you his beautiful HBK Shawn Michaels pot of vinyl, which was bought and sent to him personally by myself. I assure you, one of you will be getting a pot of vinyl by the end of this weekend. And of course, don't forget the matches. If you guys want to get in on myself and Dexter's little shenanigans, and of course, at Heel Nick Payne, at I Love Klee, Kyle Russell Dude, and Smiley Baby Boo, if you want a match of your own, there's still a little bit of time left. Contact us via the Twitter at the Smart Plug. Include that tag and go at whoever you want to. But you haven't got long left, so you better get cracking. But nonetheless, get those predictions in. And of course, when it comes to social media links, they're all in our descriptions for every podcast now. So we won't bore you telling you everything you already know. Go to the descriptions. Go to the podcast description. You will see all our social media links there. And of course, you will see our friends as well. Taylor Talks, Mike's Open Journal, very good friends of the podcast, both very avid listeners. Please check out their content, their material, subscribe and check them out. They are really genuinely fantastic people with great talents, and they deserve your time and your effort. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to say that is it for another week in the universe. And we will see you very soon for No Mercy. Dexter Critchman, before I shove you back in that stupid-ass kennel of yours, say goodbye to the listeners.
Have a good night, folks. And you're not shoving me in right now. No, no. You stop that.
Boys, get him. Get in a fucking cage. God
no,
damn it.
No, no,
what did I
no,
say last week?
No,
shut up.
No,
shut up and get
no.
in there. What did I say to you fuckers? Put a fucking lock on it next time. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been your host, Amir Ozzanetti. Thank you very much to the little bitch that is Dexter Critchman. And we will catch you very soon for another podcast from the Smart Plug Network. And if you're very lucky, it could be a review of No Mercy. We are out.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.